God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everyone. A very special welcome to our visitors. If you're here for the first time, we're happy that you're here and we hope you feel at home. There was a pastor who was a bit overweight, a little bit like your pastor. And the doctor had told him, hey, you've got to lose about 30 pounds. And so he decided to give up sweets for Lent. And so instead of going to church in his usual route, the usual way, he took a detour. And he made sure he went nowhere near that bakery where he used to love to stop and get stuff that made him fat. And so one day he just started praying to the Lord, and he was really kind of struggling with the whole thing. And he knew that there was a women's Bible study at church. And so he decided to stop by the bakery. And he decided to get them what he himself would like to have. He got a big, big angel food cake. You know, one of those big cakes smothered with all kinds of sweet stuff on top. And when he started walking into the church, the ladies in the Bible study started saying, oh, there he goes again. He's never going to lose weight. He keeps eating that stuff. And he said to the ladies, hey, ladies, this is not for me. As much as I'd like to have it, you know, I prayed to the Lord today and I said, Lord, I want to offer you and your church the best that I've got. So I brought you this angel food cake for you to enjoy. And the lady started questioning him and said, well, Father, weren't you not supposed to drive by that bakery? He said, no, you don't understand. I said a prayer. And I said, Lord, if that parking space right on the front door of the bakery is available, it means you want me to go there. And after 8 times driving around the block, it was finally available. You know, when you look at today's gospel, the first thing you see is abundance, generosity. The first thing you see is a woman motivated by her faith. Mary, in this case, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, Mary getting the best perfume, the most expensive perfume, and pouring it at the feet of the Lord. The first thing that happens is an act of generosity. The second thing that happens in today's gospel is that someone that perhaps had no faith, or perhaps struggled with understanding who Jesus was, struggled to take God seriously, in this case, Judas. He says, well, what a waste! Why do that? Can't we give it to the poor? Can't we do something else with it? I've got to tell you, I've seen both of those attitudes in my own life. I want to go back about 15 years ago, maybe 12, 15 years ago. I've been very blessed in my 21 years as a priest to work in poor parishes, struggling parishes, and some very wealthy parishes. And I've been able to see kind of the ups and downs of the socioeconomic status here in the U.S. and the way that people struggle in different ways according to their situation. And I remember when I was at one of those wealthy parishes, there was a big renovation that had to take place of the church. And so the Monsignor got up on a Sunday and announced to the people it was going to cost millions of dollars to restore St. Patrick's Church. Now imagine when the Monsignor got up and gave the report. Like all these old buildings, you know, we just did it with Trinity Cathedral in downtown Miami. All these old buildings, when they settle, you know, and all that, they have all kinds of problems. And so after 60, 70 years, guess what? You got to look at the bottom of it again and make sure it can still stay up for another 70 years. So, of course, it was mega, mega construction that needed to take place. And it was expensive. And it was somewhere in the millions. So when he started to announce this to the crowd, some people, obviously, reacted positively and some negatively. That happens everywhere, right? But I remember standing outside of the church that day, and I was greeting everyone as I usually do. And one of the ladies came up to me, probably one of the wealthiest ladies in the parish, lived in one of the nicest streets in the parish, said, "Can you believe it, Father? This pastor is going to spend millions of dollars restoring this old church. And to think that Jesus was born in a stable." And I don't know where it came from, but I remember looking at her and telling her, "Where do you live?" I knew where she lived, but I asked her, "Oh, you know, Father, my house over there on Pine Tree Drive." "Exactly, yeah." I said, "Far shot from a stable, huh?" I said, "Why don't you live in a stable?" And then we began to talk about why the church needed to be renovated. Of course, at the beginning of the conversation, it was all about, "Why is the church wasting all this money doing this?" At the end of the conversation, it was, "You know, maybe you're right. Maybe I have a lot, but when it comes to giving to God and giving to the church, I have such a hard time with it." I'll tell you another story. When I was a seminarian, I was about 18 or 19 years old. I went out to work in the migrant fields with migrant workers as part of my summer assignment, my summer internship. And I remember that I would go out into the field with a group of Mexican nuns that would teach the men Bible study and prayers and all that. And these were hard workers out in the field all day. So when you got to the end of the day, they were having their beers and stuff and all that. And all of a sudden you see these nuns coming in on a Volkswagen with a seminarian. Listen, the whole story is kind of funny looking, right? But we'd get there and sure enough, the shirts went on, the beer bottles went down, and they began to say their prayers. But I remember going into the house of one family one day. And when I'm talking about a house, you have to understand, I'm talking about a room that's maybe 10 by 10, maybe 10 by 12, three children, mom and dad, dirt floor, that's here in the U.S., not somewhere else, here. And I remember going in there and sitting down on the, a little, you don't remember those little milk crates, those little plastic milk crates? I remember sitting there and starting to talk with them. And when we began to talk, almost immediately, the little children had these bottles of Coca-Cola. Remember the old glass bottles? And just when the oldest boy opened it up and was about to put it to his mouth, his mom went. And that kid turned around and took his Coca-Cola and offered it to me. He said, "Here, Padrecito," they used to call seminarians a little father. "Padrecito, here, Padrecito, you can have mine." And I got to tell you the truth. I've never been into drinking soda, at least not in a while, but just the act of generosity that he would offer it to me brought tears to my eyes. And I remember saying to him, no, mijo, you drink it, you drink it. And he did. And he was happy that I wasn't into Coca-Cola. But I've got to tell you, the generosity, he didn't even have to think about it. Just one glaze from his mom made him go, "Will you have it? Will you have it?" I say this to you because that's what we find in today's gospel. We find the generous giver who recognized the Lord and there was no perfume in the world too expensive for God. And then you've got the cheapo, right? We got the one who says, "Oh, we should be doing something else with that." Regardless of what the gospel says his motivation was, that he was a thief, regardless of that, there's an interesting dynamic taking place, isn't there? And we're being invited today by the Word of God to reflect on our generosity. Are we able to adore Jesus and adore the Lord in such a way as to spill the perfume or give the best of what we've got? Because I can assure you, that was the best she had to give. And that's why she poured the perfume over the feet of Jesus. She was giving her best. You know, when we think about giving something, we are often concerned about the cost or the sacrifice involved. When it's motivated by faith and our love for God, we realize there's never any competition, right? God has given us so much more. Am I right? God has blessed us so much more. That's what she did. She didn't measure the cost. She poured the perfume on his feet. And then Jesus gives us the whole theology of it. Did you notice that? She is preparing my body for burial. Now you can imagine, to the friends of Jesus, this whole thing of the passion was something they didn't want to hear about. To the friends of Jesus, this whole thing that Jesus had to be handed over to the chief priests and had to be, you know, crucified and that he would rise on the third day, they didn't get it. Yet Jesus was preparing them. He said to them, "She is preparing my body for burial." And it's interesting, in a very practical way, the perfume that was used, not just by the Jews, by the way, the Egyptians and other cultures used the perfume. You know why, right? Because of the stench. Because of the stench. They didn't have all the technology we have now and the things that we do now. So for burial, perfume was very important because it was what did away with the stench. And if you've noticed in the old museums of the Egyptians, they did those mummies, remember? Where they wrapped them up and they mummified them. They were all different rituals having to do with reverence and respect for the body of not just kings and lords and people of great influence and power. It was because of the love and the respect to our loved ones who had died and to their remains. And so all those rituals are about that kind of love and respect. And so Jesus is trying to tell them, that's what the perfume is for. But you and I both know that her motivation was faith. Her motivation was love. Her motivation was generosity. And if you think about it, that's the great lesson in today's gospel. We are called to generosity. We are called to not measure the cost, especially when it comes to God. I say this to you on this weekend, and I love that we have this gospel this weekend, because the truth is, we have a very, very generous congregation at St. Benedict's. We have a generous congregation that gives well, that is committed, gives in so many different ways, with our time, with our activities, with our ministries. But we do have a shortfall in our financial giving. I can tell you this, the average in the national church, the average family, an individual in the national church gives $2,000 per year to their church. That's about $50 a week, and maybe a little bit less than $50 a week, but that's the average in the national church. In the Diocese of Southeast Florida, it jumps down to $1,600, which is lower, much lower than the national average. And at St. Benedict's, it jumps a little bit down from that to $1,300. Yes, we have lots of people. By the way, we're one of the parishes that has the most people on Sundays. 450, more or less, average Sunday attendance, 450. That's high in numbers. But our giving is a little low, and it's catching up with us. When I do a five-year study of how we've given from the present to the past, there seems to be an ongoing culture of always being 20% or close to 20% below what we pledge. So we pledge a certain amount, regardless of what that amount is, but we give less than 20. And I can tell you, just in the last 3 years, that's been the case. 2013, 2014, and 2015. We're 20% below what we pledge. That's way too much. I came from a mission church, and I can tell you at Resurrection, it was a poor church, and it wasn't self-sustaining by any means, but we got 97% of what was pledged. We always did in the 6 years I was there. We're getting about 80 now, and I'm trying to understand the why, and I have to bring it to your attention because we're in Lent and Easter's coming up. But please be aware that as your pastor, I have to tell you, we've got to do a little better. We've got to do a little better. We've got to step it up a little bit. And the truth is, this year's stewardship drive, we kind of did it very kind of mellow. We were not aggressive in any way, but we want people to pledge and to be able to give according to what they pledge. So So I'm going to send out a letter to those who have not been able to fulfill their pledges. Please make sure you know it's not a collection letter. It's not a nasty, hey, we're going to, you know, take your car if you don't do this. Nothing like that. The idea is to remind you of how important the work of the church is. Some people pledge, by the way, give more than they've pledged. Thank you. But that's a minority. The great majority have quite a shortfall. And I know that all of us struggle. All of us struggle to meet our pledges. There's no doubt about that. Especially sometimes when you have obligations with kids and obligations with school and with this and the other. There's no doubt about that. But I'm going to ask you to please pray and think about it, because we need to step it up for Easter. And if you can give a special Easter gift to your church, we need it. We need it now. You'll see the thermometers that I put. Did you all see your thermometers inside your bulletins? That's for just the drive involving our air conditioning. We're doing well, by the way. We've got a little bit more than what's there, actually, because this was done on Thursday and a few came in after that was printed. But not a whole lot more. We still need the other two-thirds of it. The educational building will be done this week, which that's urgent, because that's where our kids go to Sunday school. A lot of our meetings and things take place there, so that needs to be air conditioned right away. The church still has one whole unit that does not work, and we don't feel it now, but we're going to feel it in a few months if we don't get this done, and another one that's being repaired. So I ask you to please step it up. If you have not given to that campaign, the envelopes are there. And if you haven't been able to catch up with your pledge from 2015, think about what you can do. Because any amount that you can give right now, we need it. We need it to catch up. And I don't want us to fall into the trap that we fell in during the last 3 years, which was, oh, you know, we don't have it. Let's go to the diocese and ask them for assistance. Let's go and do this. I don't like to operate in the red. I've got to tell you the truth. When I began to run, I ran a Christian radio station for almost 10 years. When I got there, there were 55 employees, and the budget was $2.5 million. And we got the budget to go up to $5 million, and I got the employees down to 35. And I say that to you because I like to have a trim, clean operation, conservative operation. I don't like us to spend more than we have. I grew up in a home where we were taught, if you have money to drive a used Toyota, drive the used Toyota, not the Mercedes, you know? You don't go beyond what you can afford. And I believe that we should do that with church, especially with church. This is God's house. We need to be very responsible with it. So I ask you to please do everything that you can to be as generous as you can and to think about what Mary did with that perfume. She gave from her heart. She didn't measure the cost or the sacrifice. She did it out of love. And I know that you do it out of love. I know that all of us do it out of love. And I know you love your church. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But maybe we may not be aware of the fact that our giving is not at the level that it should be. So please do what you can to do a little bit more. And by the time that Easter gets here, I could probably come back to you and report to you, we're doing better. We're doing better, and we're going to keep doing better. I have great faith and hope in this community, and I see every day signs of God's grace operating and working in us and through us. So I know that this is something we can all do together. I just want to share something with you. One time when Mother Teresa got to Great Britain, I believe it was her first visit there, she went to see the sisters, and when she got off the plane, they had this reporter really getting after her from the BBC. He really wanted to get the first word. And he asked her a question, which was very interesting. He said, Mother, is it true that you and your nuns pretend to end world hunger? And Mother Teresa had a great sense of humor. And she turned around and looked at the reporter and said, Son, yes, I got to tell you, my nuns and I know that our work is like a little drop in the ocean. A little drop in the ocean. But we also know that if that little drop was not there, the ocean would be missing something. All of us can do that little drop. All of us can do a little more without counting the cost, without counting the sacrifice. That's what we have to pray about today. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you on this day as we gather for worship, and we praise and thank you for the nourishment that we receive from your word. We praise and thank you for this community of faith, and we thank you, Lord, that we're able to gather for so many different ministries, activities, beautiful things that happen in this place in your name. Open our hearts, Lord, to greater generosity. Help us to learn from the woman in today's gospel who poured the perfume over your feet as a sign of adoration, as a sign of love. May we be able to be generous with what we have, generous with what we have received from you, because everything we have, we've received from you. And help us to return to you a generous portion of the blessings we have received. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.